good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this 17th day of September. As I mentioned earlier, the month of September is moving right along. And it's kind of just coming and going pretty quick, Bing.
As it should be.
Yeah.
We're living in time, the realm of time.
Right? Yes, we are.
The clock's always ticking.
Always.
We have a God who is not confined by time. He exists the same before time was brought into this world. He exists during this period of time that we're in.
Yes.
He exists in when time will end. You know, time has a beginning. We see that in Genesis.
Oh, yes.
Time will have an end. We see that when the new heavens and a new earth are created. And our God who exists every second of time, the same as he exists in the past and the same as he exists in the future, is an amazing God. And we can trust in him.
Amazing.
And when things in this world go crazy, when we see hate and murders and, I'll say assassinations of people simply because there's a disagreement in what they are preaching or teaching or speaking, it's easy to get caught up in these things and just see there's a hopelessness, just a looming threat of more wickedness and evil. But we have a God who's allowing this for some reason. We can't explain it.
That's one thing we can't explain.
We cannot explain what he's doing, but we can trust because we know that he is good and he has a plan for all of mankind.
Yeah.
And you know what that plan is? That all of mankind bow the knee to him and worship him and give reverence to him and fear him because of who he is. And sadly, we know what the world is. The world really is the enemy of the gospel.
It is
the enemy of Jesus.
Sure it is.
They preach, they didn't teach Jesus, or they didn't treat Jesus very well when he was dwelling among us. And they don't treat a lot of Jesus' followers well when we are dwelling among them. But our God says love.
That's right.
Love. And just speak the truth. That's all you got to do. So that's what we do here.
I was thinking about something as you was mentioning all that, evil in this world. As me and you was discussing off air, of course, I'm in the process of trying to find a vehicle.
Yes, we need people out there praying for that.
Yes, but yesterday I noticed a post popped up on Facebook. Now, I'm just telling you how people are.
Okay.
Post popped up on Facebook. It was a nice car, nice Toyota Camry. It was kind of what I've been looking for. But anyway, it popped up. It was a great price. It was in Clarksville.
Okay.
So, but in the reading, it mentioned to hold the car, they're not going to be in town for 2 or 3 days. So to hold a car, you can make a down payment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I was, I said, well, I'm just going to send a message. You know, right off the bat, they said, well, for to hold that car, you'll have to put a down payment down. Mm-hmm. It's returnable if you decide you don't want the car.
Is there a guarantee to that?
And I'm sitting here thinking, now, how stupid do you think I am? So I put back on there, I said, nope, not today. I said, Jesus is watching you. And then I blocked them, and so I didn't get any more messages from them. But anyway, I said, that's just the way people are.
Yeah.
If they can trick you into doing something like that, then it could hurt you financially.
Yeah, you have to
So you got to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
So if you see those posts, please be careful.
Stay wise as serpents and innocent as doves.
I think that's what
the Bible would teach.
We have to
be watchful for sure. And we have to be able to discern and recognize things.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes we get it right, sometimes we don't. But I do pray, Lord, that you will open up an avenue for Brian to find the right vehicle.
Yes.
He needs one desperately. It's a bind on he and his wife as they have one vehicle between them. And we just ask, Lord, that you will lead him to the right vehicle that he can afford. And it'll be a reliable vehicle that'll serve him well for many, many years.
Yes.
We just ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bing.
You are
welcome. What are we going to pick up today?
We were talking about the wise men and how they saw the star and how they planned for a trip to come to Jerusalem, and they were going to bring gifts and they were going to present them to this king that this star represented was birthed in Jerusalem. Almost 2 years later, We pick up the story. Well, we will pick up the story where they came in and confronted Herod the king. You know, mm-hmm. where is he that is born king of the Jews? And that was not good news for Herod, because he was currently king of the Jews in his eyes, mm-hmm. and he felt very threatened. We'll see how the story plays out when we get back.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Colossians 2:6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." I once read this story in our Daily Bread devotional. Some Christians try to live from one dramatic mountaintop experience to another. Their relationship with the Lord is based on their feelings at the moment. They go from Bible conferences to seminars to Bible studies, trying to maintain an emotional high. Arthur Kraft Davis, referring to his early Christian life, wrote, "I felt that if something spectacular was not transpiring, my faith was weakening. As a result, I missed a lot of what is going on in the valleys, waiting to get back to the mountain." Don't waste your valley. Enjoy what the Lord is teaching you as He walks with you daily. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Every time I turn it on, it really inspires me to keep moving forward, knowing that God loves me.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Hello, this is John Reed, your evening and Saturday missionary radio host. Our mission is to broadcast the gospel or good news about the salvation available through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and following resurrection. We broadcast not only locally through multiple community radio stations, but also across the globe through our partnership with Transworld Radio. As you know, we are 100% listener-funded. This means you, our listeners and partners, enable us to evangelize the lost, educate the Bible student, and proclaim that Jesus is King. We invite current partners to renew, old friends to return, and certainly are praying for new listeners to join us in our What an Awesome God Carathon, which happens on October 7th, 8th, and 9th. Please pray and get involved by going online at missionary.radio or call 877-885-9655 or mail to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you.
Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch on your community station, Missionary Radio. Nice job, John Reed, for Amen. That nice announcement.
Yes,
talking about our carathon coming up in October,
yes,
May.
Yes, a very, yeah. very important time of the year for
yes,
Missionary
it is.
Radio.
Yes, it is.
We need to hear from our mission, our radio family. And we just need, you know, Ken's not ashamed to ask. We need financial support in a way that, you know, we always do. But it's been slow this the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And, and he's concerned enough to mention that frequently on the air.
Sure, sure.
I know that's a lot for a lot of people, mm-hmm. but we will stand as long as we can stand to be 100% missionary or
listener-funded.
Listener-funded,
yeah.
A missionary radio. That's mm-hmm. the way our forefathers wanted it, and that's the way we are stepping in the future.
You know? That's right. That's
so
right.
We trust that the Lord will, as He always has,
provide.
Provide. Amen.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
We will pick up, if you're out there and you like to follow along, in Matthew 2. May repeat a little bit of what we mentioned towards the end of the program last week, but we will get back into the flow of the story. 2:1, Matthew 2:1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now, we know that Mary and Joseph have long since left Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
We know that because we read Luke 2:39 last week. They're now living in Nazareth. But these wise men have finally made it to Jerusalem. And the very first question they ask in the New Testament, in Matthew 2:2, is, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?"
Mm-hmm.
That caused quite a stir. "For we have seen his star in the east," they said, "and are come to worship him." Now when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. This was some extraordinary news. What kind of madness are these men talking about? We don't know of any Messiah being born, but he was. And nobody really knew it. Maybe as long as 2 years ago, Jesus was born. Now, Matthew 2:4 tells us, and when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So we know where, but we had no idea it's happened, you know. And then they read the prophecy, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, capital G, that shall rule my people Israel, which is exactly what happened because God said it would, a year or maybe 2 years before when the wise men saw the star. Verse 7 says, and Herod, when he privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently. You know, I could just see how concerned he would be. What time did this star appear? And he sent them to Bethlehem. And he said, go and search diligently for what? It's not the infant. He said, go search diligently for he, the young child. He's no longer an infant. Herod knew that by what the wise men told him. There's enough time has passed since the star appeared in the night sky to make Herod believe, but what the wise men told him, that this Christ was no longer an infant. He was probably toddling and walking at this time. Mm-hmm. And the text continues, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now we can assume the wise men left Jerusalem in the direction of Bethlehem because of what Herod's scribes told them. The wise men didn't know this part of the prophecy of the Messiah, where and when he'd be born. And we can be sure they didn't find him in Bethlehem by what we've already read in Luke's account. And we can marvel, Brian, at the way God directed these wise men to find his son Jesus. Matthew 2:9 tells us, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Mm. Now, would wise men who study the night sky be amazed at a star that moved before them? Would they be amazed when it suddenly stopped moving, guiding them to the prophesied king of the Jews who they were searching for?
Mm.
Would they? Well, verse 10 answers this question as if we were there. When they saw the star, they rejoiced mm-hmm. with exceeding great joy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that particular verse fits in the narrative. Matthew 2:11 says, and when they were come into the house, not a stable or a manger, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts were of great value then, as they would be now.
Mm-hmm.
Gold has long been recognized as a precious metal, and it is probably more precious today than it's ever been.
Oh, yeah.
Frankincense and myrrh were fragrant spices often used in making exotic and very expensive perfumes. All the items the wise men brought were befitting gift for a king. Now, would the wise men now report to Herod? That's what we're thinking. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
As Herod instructed them to do about the location of this new king of Israel? Well, no. Matthew 2:12 says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. See how God is in control?
Mm-hmm.
He is so in control.
Yes.
They departed into their own country another way. Now, after these wise men left Mary and Joseph and Jesus, we know something. They left, but their expensive gifts stayed.
Mm-hmm.
This young, poor carpenter and his family suddenly accumulated a bit of wealth in a very short time, and they would find out that very night they were going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13 continues, and when they, the wise men, were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So here Herod is exposed for his true motives.
Sure.
Now we can assume there was an immediate danger to Joseph, Mary, and especially Jesus after the wise men left their home. And we can also assume Herod had probably someone follow these wise men ever since they left Jerusalem and followed them wherever they went. And when the wise men finally stopped at this carpenter's house in Nazareth, not in Bethlehem, where he sent them, and when they saw him, when they saw them taken to the house, their treasures and the gifts, then they saw them depart from the house without their gifts in a different direction from which they came. Word would soon get back to Herod about everything that was happening. And that's where we'll take a break as we hear some beautiful, encouraging letters from our listening family.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, may the Lord continue to use this ministry for His glory and the different programs to enrich the lives of us, the listeners. I enjoy the variety of music, teachings, and stories all throughout the day. My radios are tuned in to Missionary Radio. Thank you for the great job that everyone is doing at the station. From Cedar Hill, praise God for your ministry. Also from Clarksville, thank you again for the wonderful radio station you run. I listen every day. God bless you all.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
We're going to pick up the narrative here. We saw that the wise men stopped at Joseph and Mary's house in Nazareth. We saw they presented their gifts. We saw they left without their gifts. And we saw that none of this was secret to Herod. Herod had sent. We know that because Herod got word about everything that was going on there. Verse 14 tells us what was happening in Joseph's house. When he, this is speaking to Joseph, arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. He departed in Egypt because we learned that he was told in a dream to do that. Now, believing at night, as the verse tells us, there would be no witnesses in the city of Nazareth to tell Herod's men when they were sent there what direction Mary and Joseph were heading. It was at night. They wouldn't be able to tell. They were probably sleeping. Now, did word get back to Herod about the wise men's whereabouts? Well, we can say for sure yes, because according to Matthew 2:16, it tells us that Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, somebody did tell Herod, the wise men left another way. They're not coming back to talk to him about what they found. Thus Herod was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, and this is what he said, in Ramah, there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. This was a slaughter. Ramah was located 5 miles north of Jerusalem. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem, which was 5 miles south of Jerusalem, indicating that the slaughter of these 2-year-old children could have extended at least in a 10-mile radius around Bethlehem. And that would include the city of Jerusalem itself, Brian.
Yeah.
Now, while residing in Egypt, and this was, we don't know the time period of it, but he was there. Because Matthew 2:19 tells us, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying this, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." So it's safe to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go back to verse 15, it tells us that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Hosea, saying, "Out of Egypt I've called my son." I love it how the prophets, over 70 prophets, who didn't know each other in the Old Testament, probably didn't even live in the same time period, but all these prophets saw visions, saw prophecies of the Jewish Messiah that was to come. They didn't know mm-hmm. it was Jesus, but they knew Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. There were prophecies that God told them.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus actually fulfilled close to 200 prophecies about him during his lifetime. He still got many prophecies yet to fulfill when he comes back to this earth.
Mm-hmm.
But it just tells us, again, as we said earlier, God is in complete control. He's written the story. He's revealed a lot of the story to the prophets of the Old Testament, which we have in our hands today in the Bible. It's just a verification mm-hmm. that God speaks only truth, and we can trust.
Yes.
We can trust in him. Verse 21 adds, "And he, Joseph, arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel." Now, it's safe to conclude that Joseph was going to take Jesus to Jerusalem. After all, where else would you take the young child that was destined to become the future king of the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 22 substantiates that conclusion. It says, "But when he, Joseph, heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there." In other words, Joseph was afraid to go to Jerusalem, where the deceased Herod once ruled, after hearing Herod's son now ruled there instead. So verse 22 continues, "Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream," again, God is directing everything, "he turned aside into parts of Galilee. He came and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled that which is spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." Now we saw the wise men appeared to Mary and Joseph and Jesus in Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that he fled to Egypt, and now we see him coming back and God saying it's safe to go back to Nazareth. Mm-hmm. From here we go to Luke 2:40. It tells us, "And the child Jesus grew, and he waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." So, Brian, after Herod died and the wise men's visit became ancient history,
mm-hmm.
and all the news about the birth of the Jewish Messiah was all but forgotten, Mary and Joseph settled in Nazareth, and over the years they had more children and raised them up to follow the Jewish laws and their celebrations with regularity and reverence. Luke 2:41 tells us this, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover." This was a trip from Nazareth about 60 miles. It was a relatively safe journey because thousands of people would be on the roads that lead to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Passover. They would be in a spirit of praise and thanksgiving. They would travel in large groups of family and friends at an easy pace so everyone,
mm-hmm.
young and old, could keep up with safety of the clan or the tribe that they were traveling mm-hmm. with. The only instance recorded about the childhood of Jesus was on one of these journeys to Jerusalem. You can find that in Luke 2:42. It says, "And when he, Jesus, was 12 years old, the oldest son of a fairly large family unit by this time, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days," this is the Passover,
mm-hmm.
"as they returned, the child, Jesus, tarried." He stayed behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother didn't even know it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company and in the clan and the tribe that they were traveling with, went a day's journey. And at the end of the day, when they were making camp, they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, what do you suppose the parents would do in such a case? They went back to Jerusalem. They were going to find him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they, Mary and Joseph, saw him, they were amazed. They were amazed at this setting. These people were listening intently to their 12-year-old child.
Yeah.
Perhaps Jesus kept himself in reserve at home in Nazareth up until 12 years of age. But now, in his true father's house, who is the true father of Jesus? It's God.
God, yeah.
Yeah. The temple in Jerusalem, he began to wonder maybe and manifest the wisdom he'd already received. And then Luke 2:48 continues with, "And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. We thought something bad has happened to you. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?"
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Jesus said, "Why did you waste your time looking for me all over Jerusalem? Didn't you know I would be here in God's temple? That's where I would be. That's where you would find me." And then verse 50 tells us, "And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them." So after this one incident in which he caused his earthly parents so much concern, the Bible tells us in verse 51, "And he went down with them," okay, this is them going from Jerusalem and back to Nazareth, "and was subject unto them." That's what we're told. And we know for 18 more years he was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And we can assume this, Brian, for the next 18 years, Jesus lived a low-profile life in Nazareth, no more answering questions and no more sessions in the temple with the Jewish leaders, which would bring him too much attention too soon. And that's where we will end up. And we're about to expect a visit from who?
Yeah, Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid it all? Listen to Johnny's song now and be blessed.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." Oh, that's one of my favorite hymns to sing. Whenever I wheel up and down the long ramp that winds around our chapel here at the Johnny and Friends International Disability Center, I mean, every morning and evening when I wheel up that ramp to my office, or when I wheel down it to leave in the late afternoon, I love to sing a hymn. To me, it just sounds nice echoing off the walls and the ceiling of our large lobby, and because so many of my coworkers, they work in alcoves on the second floor near the ramp, it's really nice to hear a couple of them always kind of chime in with a little bit of harmony. But the other evening when I was singing this hymn going down the ramp, all of a sudden, I heard more than just one or two voices. I heard a whole chorus of voices. Nearing the chapel, I looked up, and there, lining the glass railing on the second floor, were about six or seven co-workers of mine, all standing up, singing along with me. It was so beautiful, kind of like a flash mob, you know? I never expected such a thing. And what was really cool is that a couple of other co-workers getting out of the elevator on the lobby level to go home, when they came out of the elevator, they paused and sang this hymn along with us. It was a moment. Wow. You know, Psalm 134 tells us to lift up our hands and worship the Lord in the sanctuary. And I will
at it sure is fun when you live in a Christian workplace where you can do that also. Without fear, raise your voice in a spontaneous song of praise in the workplace. It's what happens here at Johnny and Friends, and it may account for why our co-workers always vote this ministry as the best Christian workplace every year. I don't know. We just sing a lot. Now, I don't know where you work, and it may well not be in a Christian organization. You could be working in your home. You could be walking down the hallways of a college dorm. You could be standing at your kitchen sink or waiting in line in the grocery store or pharmacy. May I encourage you to, if you dare, if you're brave enough, hum a hymn or even sing it softly under your breath, because there are people around you listening. Maybe some of them are Christians who need a refreshing word. Even those who do not follow Jesus, they need encouragement. It really can be theirs for a song, your song. And no better hymn is there to sing than this wonderful assurance that Jesus really has paid it all.
You know, friend, I don't need a wheelchair, but I always use the ramp here at Johnny and Friends. And today, when I'm heading down that ramp ready to go home, I think I'll make this hymn the hymn I'll sing. Jesus paid it all. I hope you'll find yourself singing that song today, too. God has granted us so great a salvation in Jesus Christ. It is truly something to sing about. God commands it. So sing a new song unto the Lord and visit us today at johnnyradio.org. Again, that's johnnyradio.org.
Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of your community Christian station, Missionary Radio. For over 44 years, Missionary Radio has been your Christian community station, sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're 100% listener-funded, which means we depend on your partnership to stay on the air. This year's What an Awesome God Carathon is October 7th through 9th. We're asking you to renew your faith pledge and raise it if you can. Please come back if you had to stop giving or partner with us for the first time. Over the summer, giving fell short by 50 to 75%, so your response is more important than ever. As a matter of fact, we're asking you to get started right now. It's simple to get involved. Go online at missionary.radio, click donate, and fill out the faith pledge card there, and then set up your giving through Cornerstone Payment System, or call us during the Carathon at 877-885-9655. Let's keep Missionary Radio strong and vibrant in our community, because we serve an awesome God.
In partnership with TWR, Missionary Radio.
And this is, of course, The Front Porch.
All right, welcome back. We left off before the break about Jesus submitting to his parents and living a low-profile life for the next 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't bring attention to himself anymore in Jerusalem like he did when he was 12.
Yeah,
he probably learned the carpenter trade from his earthly father, Joseph. I mean, that would be expected for the firstborn son to do that. And Jesus surely stayed busy in and around his household. I mean, he was the eldest of four younger brothers. We know that. And at least two younger sisters, because what Matthew 13, 55 through 56 tells us. This was the verse. Is not this the carpenter's son? This is what people of Nazareth said when Jesus did manifest himself as the Messiah. And is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So he had four brothers. And his sisters, it didn't say his sisters, are they not all with us? So at least two sisters he had. Whence then hath this man all these things? Mm-hmm. They said, we've seen him grow up. And suddenly he appears and he's telling us that he is the promised Messiah, the King of the Jews. They didn't take that very well.
Mm-mm.
Now, Jesus would not come out to do his ministry, we know this, until after, as the prophets foretold, John the Baptist began his ministry. Mm-hmm. And in Luke 3, 1 through 6, we're told, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being, now we're getting some familiar names of the in the life of Jesus, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee. Now this would be Herod Antipas, the youngest son of Herod the Great, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonius, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word during that time of those men that just aforementioned, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, and where was he dwelling at that time? In the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet, saying this. Now, Isaiah prophesied that this was going to happen one day in the future, and now it's happening. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, we know Jesus went to be baptized of John in the Jordan River. We know after the baptism, he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness for 40 days. And we know after, and only after the temptation, did he begin his earthly ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're told. Now, over 700 years before John started to preach the word, the prophet Isaiah saw in a vision this forerunner of Christ. Malachi, the last listed prophet in the Old Testament, also foretold some 400 years before this, that John the Baptist would come before Jesus would start his ministry. Now, the nation of Israel had a very rough time over these 400 years that was between Malachi and John the Baptist, the old in the New Testaments. Cyrus, we know, allowed them to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild their temple during this time. And we studied there were a lot of obstacles and the roadblocks in their way the whole time. These were the days of Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel. When they went back from Babylon to build the temple, the inhabitants that were there were throwing roadblocks and obstacles in their way the whole time. They wrote letters to leaders trying to stop them. It was a mess, but they continued to do that. They continued to rebuild. Now, history tells us that Alexander the Great conquered the land of the Jews along with much of the world. But Alexander allowed the Jews to govern themselves and practice their own religion under his rule. It's actually told, not in the Bible, but extra Bible reading, that when Alexander came in to Judah, into Jerusalem, with the intent of making them fall under his rule, a prophet of God opened up the book of Daniel, read to him the scripture of the that pertained to him, and said, "This is you, Alexander." And Alexander respected that, and he allowed them to rule themselves. Now, when Alexander died, his kingdom was divided among his four generals, and two of his generals fought against each other for over 100 years to gain control over the land of Palestine. The Jews were at this time in a quandary. The temple and religious practices were polluted at this time. The statue of Jupiter was even erected on the altar of burnt offerings. Scrolls were burned. Worship of Jehovah was prohibited. And Daniel, this didn't escape Daniel's attention because he saw all this in a vision long before it actually happened in Daniel 11. And that's another thing. He got information that we can look at and say, yes, history happened exactly as Daniel saw it was going to happen before it did. Eventually, the Roman Empire became the military force in all the world. As they conquered, they also took control of the land of Palestine. The Romans, however, were quite content to allow the Jews to keep their customs and their traditions with the right to assemble, but the high priesthood, the leaders, were controlled or highly influenced by Rome, and capital punishment could only be carried out by Roman decree, and we'll see all that happened at the trial of Jesus before he's crucified. In 37 BC, Herod the Great became, for all intents and purposes, king of the Jewish people, a Jew himself, but strongly his allegiance aligned with Rome. It was Herod the Great who built the temple in Jerusalem, where Jesus had confrontations with the Jewish leaders and the money changers. Jesus also taught and healed in that very temple. Herod died in 4 BC, and it was Herod Antipas, his son, who ruled over Galilee in the days of John the Baptist and Jesus. It was Herod Antipas who put John the Baptist to death and presented his head to his daughter as a gift for her dancing. The Jewish people were very unhappy under Roman rule, Brian. The Jews were paying tribute to Rome. Men like Matthew, the tax collector, were despised by the Jewish people. The Levites and the priests lost all their influence as religious leaders in Israel. And because God's laws were added to so much by men, that during these times, it was the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers who became the experts on how to live a life well-pleasing to God, according to them, according to their law. These commandments of men became so burdensome to the Jewish people, and they were so unfair, there was an anxiety and a tension throughout all of Israel. And that's why God picked this time to allow John the Baptist to present some very, very good news. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the lawyers were blasted by Jesus when he spoke to them for putting all these burdens on men. But what were they not doing? They were not following any of these burdens themselves. So, having said all that, after 400 years of silence from any prophet of God, John the Baptist appeared on the scene and was preaching to the people to meet their Messiah, preparing them to meet their Messiah and hear about the good news that this particular person wanted to bring them. It is the gospel, the good news or glad tidings. And even though Jesus was born 30 years before John showed up, because of what God's prophets foretold in the Old Testament, the Messiah would not be revealed to his people until this certain voice heralded it from the wilderness. Now, Matthew presents Christ as Jehovah's King in his gospel. Behold thy King could be the subtitle of Matthew. And the very first question in the New Testament is found in Matthew 2:2. We've already said it. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Mark presents Christ as Jehovah's servant. Behold my servant, as Isaiah 42:1 tells us, could be the subtitle of Mark. Luke presents Christ as Jehovah's ideal man. Behold a man could be the subtitle of Luke. But John presents Christ as Jehovah's divine son or even God himself. Behold thy God could be the subtitle of John. Lord, we thank you because we behold you. We behold the word, the unbound word that you have given us. We behold our God every time we close our eyes and pray. We thank you, Lord, for this plan of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the good news that you've given to the world. May spirits of Charlie Kirk arise and be willing to share this good news to those who are lost and dying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.